Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, let's go right back to the phones. And joining us, as he does every week, from Tightline Outdoors, Mr. Nate Zielinski. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, Terry. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm hearing such reports about great things going on, and I know you're going to talk big walleyes today. Did you hear my, I don't know if you got to hear my recommendation to Nicole up at Lake John, though. You know, the fishing up there, they're catching some big fish, and you and I are going to talk as we get into the week's more scouting for big game. We actually started a while ago. Combine a fishing trip. Get up to where you're going to hunt, do some fishing, because you don't have to scout all day, right? Just mostly morning and evenings. Is that when you do most of your scouting?
I mean, that's it, Terry. I actually am just coming off the mountain right now, still pretty remote up here. I saw probably 35 bulls this morning, kind of having to do my shopping around. But exactly, if you get a good early start on your scouting, I mean, literally by 7, 8 a.m., you can be wrapped up for the day. And exactly, that midday fishing is fantastic. You know, the bugs hatch and fishing really gets cranking. So it's a great combination to combine your scouting and your fishing right now. And you're going to have the best of all worlds.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just a great time. And sometimes you might hesitate to get out there and scout, but if you know you're going to spend the day fishing, it may get you up there when you wouldn't go. But you wanted to talk about, my note says big walleyes. There are no big walleyes in Colorado.
You know, Terry, it's that time of year where, you know as well as me, it's literally, you would struggle to go anywhere else in the country and have the high number days that we're having here in Colorado. I mean, we used to always say that 100 fish days were high. Will this week had a couple of 200 fish days. I've had some high, you know, 180 fish days. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. The opportunity at the numbers of walleyes you can catch when the timing's right. When last year's bait fish is getting a little too big, when this year's bait fish hasn't moved out to the basin yet. I mean, there's just a magic small window where the fishing is incredible. We have these, you know, insanely high number days. With that being said, you know, I had a day at Chatfield earlier this week where I did like 160-something fish, and I was able to keep like 5 or 6 legal fish. And everything else was that sub-legal, that mature male 17-inch walleye, and it kind of is what it is. But I don't want to say I get frustrated, but, you know, I kind of get weird when so many people complain that we don't have big walleyes, when in reality, they're just not catching them. I mean, we have literally some of the biggest walleyes in the country, and that these bodies of waters, your Cherry Creek, Chatfield, have tremendous numbers of good fish. It's just so many people are used to all the walleyes hanging together. Maybe even in other states where, you know, you get young fish and big, and, you know, young fish and small fish and big fish mingling where you catch both. Here in Colorado, we have a very distinct separation. And if you're out there catching those smaller 16, 17 inch fish, more than likely, your odds of catching a big fish are not there. So you have to change tactics. So today, I wanted us to talk about some of the things that you could do to approach those bigger fish. I know in the last couple of shows, we've just said go shallower. I'd love to dive into that just a little bit and just talk about how anglers can seek out those bigger fish. Because again, you know, we have those big fish opportunities. They're going to take a little more dedication. Obviously, you're not going to have near the opportunity at the numbers of those fish. But for an angler that wants those chances, those fish do exist. And it's one of those things that I don't think a lot of people understand the concept of how they target them.
Well, you know, just to reinforce your point, I took my boat out to run it this week, and Karen and I hadn't planned on doing much fishing, but we stopped along a riprap figuring there'd be some walleye shallow. Karen was able to catch some. I couldn't, but she caught some. But as we were coming off the lake, and we only fished about 45 minutes, as we were coming off the lake, I saw the guys from Parks and Wildlife were out there. They were netting panfish to test the panfish population. They texted me when I got home a picture of a 30-plus-inch walleye. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And I couldn't agree with you more that if you just because you're catching fish doesn't mean eventually you're going to catch a big one. Big walleyes got big by having different habits. So how do we approach them, Nate?
You know, the biggest thing, I think the number one way I would say is the use of crankbaits. This is going to be kind of odd, but those bigger females, they never want to compete for food. So the last thing they want to do is sit on structure with a pile of those younger, immature fish that are aggressive. They're fast. Everything about them has more energy than those bigger females. So those bigger females tend to nomad out, and they tend to go out to the basins of the lake, and they suspend, much like they would on the Great Lakes or some of your bigger bodies of water in the Midwest. So all of a sudden, these bigger fish, instead of being on structure where 95% of the pressure of a Colorado, you know, society is putting pressure on those fish, these fish are going to suspend on the bigger bait fish from last year, to where you know, the younger fish, those fish on all the roadbeds and all the structures and all the points, you know, they can feed on shad up to about 3, 3.5 inches. And after that, it starts to get a little large for them. That's where these bigger fish, the 25, 28, 30-inch fish, they have no problem eating a 4, 5-inch shad from last year. So they have a lot bigger diet options because they can eat the bigger food source. They can also eat stalker rainbows. They can eat bluegills. So they have a lot more options for food, but those fish, generally speaking, are going to suspend in open water. So like at Chatfield this week, I went looking for some bigger fish, and those fish were sitting 12 to 15 feet down over 30 to 40 feet of water. So they were fairly dramatically suspended there. At Cherry Creek, it's common to find those fish like 10 to 15 down over 20 feet of water. At Pueblo, I know those fish are down about 18 feet over about 60 to 80 feet of water. So again, it's pretty common across the board of all the reservoirs that those bigger females are suspended. So my go-to approach is to pull crankbaits to those fish. You know, right now our water's in the 70 degrees. You can pull a flicker shad. You can pull a jointed flicker shad. And then here in about a week or so, when our water gets just a little warmer, you can start pulling real high action baits like Hottentots or like Norman Middle Inns. But right now, a shad profile bait like a flicker shad, but something a little larger, like a size 7 or even a size 9, is going to be a go-to bait. And you can use the precision trolling app on your phone. You can literally go out to the lake, find the fish, figure out how deep they are, and if you need to figure out how to get your bait down there, you could literally just go to a shallow shoreline, find that same depth, let out line until your bait starts nicking bottom, you know how much line to let out, and go back out to those fish out in the deeper basin and find that. But the key with those bigger fish is catering to them. Don't make them work for the bait so much. So go out, find those fish, and put those crankbaits, you know, 4, 6, 7 inches above their head. That's going to be the ideal strike zone where you're going to catch those fish. And right now with these temperatures, you can clip along pretty good. We're doing a lot of trolling speeds of like 1.6, 1.8 miles an hour. In some situations, we're even cranking it up to the 2 mile an hour mark where you can really cover some water. But trolling crankbaits is probably my first option to getting those bigger fish. The second thing we do is a lot of times we slow down a little bit. We slow down to 1 mile an hour. And we take larger crawler harnesses. So many of us are used to buying crawler harnesses that we pull behind a bottom bouncer, you know, on structure. I like taking a little bit larger one. So my general, like, crawler harness, or what we call a spinner rig, I run 5-millimeter beads, and I run 6 beads above my hook. So I have 2 hooks, and I run 6 5-millimeter beads. Then I run a quick-change clevis. Then I run 3 to 4 beads above that clevis just to give it a big profile. And this time of year, I love running, like, a size 5 Colorado blade. I'll put a big night crawler on there, and I troll that at 1 mile an hour, and I actually use a 1-ounce weight to get myself down to depth. With that 1-ounce weight at 1 mile an hour, finding your depth is pretty easy. If you need to get down 10 feet, you double that distance and let out 20 feet of line, and it puts you at that 10 feet of 10 feet of water depth. So, if again, with spinner rigs, if you have that big spinner with 1 ounce weight at 1 mile an hour, you just take the distance or the target depth you're going to, double that number and let out that much line, and it will put you right in that strike zone, and you're going to catch a lot of fish. And the third tactic that we're doing a lot of, and this is great from shore or from a boat, both Cherry Creek and Chatfield, Pueblo, we always have areas of the lake that are going to have kind of weeds in it, or, you know, again, just more material structure, but not hard structure, especially at Chatfield right now. All of Plum Creek is weeded up. The south end, or the southwest arm of Chatfield, down by Catfish Flats and Fox Run, we've got a lot of weed growth, and those bigger, healthier fish, those, you know, mid 20-inch fish and up are really activating and living in those weeds. And as a walleye angler, we almost always tend to avoid the weeds. You can take the same, you know, paddle tail jigs that we've been talking about, like a 3 to 4 inch, you know, paddle tail swim bait style jig, put that on a jig head, and you can swim those baits just above those weeds, and it's catching a lot of big fish. So right now, between the crankbaits and spinners, or working basically a swim bait over the weeds, those are three techniques that right now are producing big fish. And if you do it right, there's a good chance of catching literally a fish of a lifetime right here on these Front Range waters. But again, you have to leave the traditions. Everybody wants to continue with the live bait rigs and continue with the jigs on the areas where we're catching fish. If you start catching those 17-inch fish, you need to move, because you're not going to catch those big fish mixed in with those younger fish. So that's probably the biggest advice out there. If you want bigger fish, the second you start catching smaller ones, move on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm going to make 2 points. One is, I used to live by Cherry Creek Reservoir, and we'd get to this time of the year, I used to actually take my boat. People think, oh, the boats are going to scare all these fish. Well, if you didn't eat when a boat went over you at Cherry Creek, you'd be like living next door to an airport and never sleeping. You know, I mean, it just becomes part of the environment. And I used to actually get in line where the ski boats were going and troll crankbaits not that far behind the boat, almost in my wake, because those ski boats would run over schools of shad. And when they did, those shad would get stunned. And those big walleyes would be down there eating. Now, I wouldn't catch many fish, 2 or 3 a day, but they were big fish out there just picking off those shad that got stunned by the speedboats. I don't know if that's still applicable out there. It may be
still
so busy, it's almost impossible.
I mean, you, the more activity on the surface, our fish get used to it, and it's almost like having a really good walleye chop. The more disturbance on the top, the more disturbed the bait fish get, and the more excited those bigger walleyes get. And we say the same thing. I would say, on average, when I'm chasing big fish, I'm literally chasing 2 to 4 bites a day. Now, you might miss them all, and it might be a tough day. You might stick them all. But of those 2 to 4 bites, I mean, you are seeing mid-20-inch fish all the way up to those 30 to 32-inch fish. So, I mean, it's a big fish opportunity. But, again, it takes that dedication and time. But, again, for all of those that are frustrated looking for those bigger fish, those are the three tactics that hands down are going to catch the biggest fish at the end of the day. And for everybody out there that just keeps hoping, you know, hey, if I catch 100 of these, I'm going to catch a big one. It's not the case. I mean, we literally see, I mean, if you had to run hard numbers, I hate to say it, but if you do the traditional live bait rigs on structure, we probably only see a real big fish, one for every 10,000 little ones. The odds aren't there, because those big fish don't hang there. So separate yourself from those little fish, and that's going to be your path to finding bigger fish in our Front Range waters here in Colorado.
We are out of time, Nate. If people want more information or to book a trip, how do they find you?
Absolutely. You can give us a call on our main phone number. You can get us on our website, tightlineoutdoors.com. Our most of our updates and most of our information is available on our Facebook page. It's Tightline Outdoors. Yeah, we'd love to get in touch with you and love to get you on the water.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you soon.
Nate Zielinski. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.